I want to talk to you today about spreading the word now that we've learned some things and now that we've been through the 12 steps. The 12th step is pretty simple, and it just simply says this. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Mark 5:19 says this, go to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how much he has had mercy on you. Now, I grew up in church, and I grew up along the way in some wonderful programs where we learned how to share our faith. They were all good. They all taught me something. Many of those lessons I've never forgotten. But one thing I have found to be true throughout the 40-some years I've been a part of a ministry in this church, forever and ever, it seems like. Some of you are wondering, how much longer? And am I going to live to be 100? That's my plan at this point. So I remember learning these things as a kid, learning these things in church, but I've learned that this is one of the best ways, really, to ask God to put on your heart someone who's struggling, and you're willing to go to your friend, and you're willing to tell them what God's done for you, and you're willing to let them know how much mercy he's had on your life. And I think it's important we also understand that when you're ready, friend, when you're ready, I'd love to explain all that to you. That's a whole different approach than probably we saw 40 years ago, 50 years ago, where we kind of were a little more militant about it, and we started with, you're going to go to hell. Isn't that inspiring? tell me more. <You know? clears throat> Not knocking it. I learned a lot through it, but that you don't lead with that. You know, I think we learned that is not the starting point right there, okay? In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says this. He says it to his followers, to his disciples. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In other words, it's not necessarily what we do, but it's who we are and who we've become. And we'd like other people to have the same opportunity. Now notice that it says that it may observe the good things happening in your life, that others may observe the good things happening in our lives. But if they're not going to focus their praise, they're not supposed to focus their praise on you. And that's very key, and it's very important here. We want to help others focus their praise on the Father in heaven. We want to point to Jesus. We don't want the credit for it. We don't want to pretend to be God or play God in those moments. A lot of this has to do with motive. We get very excited about what we've learned, and very excited about knowing Jesus now, very excited about knowing that all of our sins have been forgiven. We may have trouble forgetting them, but Jesus has forgiven all of them through his blood on the cross. No more sacrifice of animals. The blood had been shed this time by one human being who willingly took the nails and went to the cross and shed his blood once and for all for everybody. We'll be hearing that story more and more in the coming weeks as we get to Easter. But we have to be very careful. Matthew 6:1 says this. Be very careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Because if you do, there's no reward from the Father. Now, this is interesting because it's kind of a subtle thing. We want to be telling our story. We want to share the story about what God has done for us. But we have to be very careful not to become sort of self-righteous in this whole event. We're not there to practice how good we are in front of somebody else. We're there as a beggar helping another beggar find what we found. And it's a sense of humility. Whatever we do as followers of Jesus, whether it's sharing our story with somebody else or whether it's doing certain things in the body of Christ or in the community, we do it in humility. In other words, beware of no subtle hints. How about you? I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room that at times have been approached by wonderful, godly people who, but they're kind of needling me a little bit. And I can tell what they're after. And it's always very subtle. And about every conversation you have sometimes with someone you pass in the hall or whatever. And all, these are all people I love. And right now I couldn't even tell you the last one that did this, but because my memory's so sharp. And but when they see you, that you get a little nudge again. Sometimes it's you need to come to this. And they'll find a way every time to kind of start. And that's okay. There's enthusiasm there. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to be very careful about what is called just manipulation, manipulative techniques where I'm going to get you where I think you need to be. That is not what the Bible is talking about. When I feel I'm being manipulated or coerced to participate in someone else's agenda, even if it's a wonderful agenda, there's something inside of me that's still troublesome enough, something I probably need to get through and work through. At this age, I'm not sure what's left to work through, but there's plenty. And so when I feel like there's some manipulation going on, I'm being just dogged and dogged and dogged and dogged, I just kind of go the other direction. Maybe you do too. And maybe I'm just admitting I got a little bit of a problem. I got my boat loaded. Don't put something else on my boat, which is just so Christ-like of me. I'm just saying, we all have to remember in our enthusiasm, honest enthusiasm, we want other people to know what it feels like to be forgiven. We want people to know what it feels like to be loved unconditionally. That church is a place where you know the worst about each other and you love each other even more. This is not a place where we play pretend, where we try to manipulate someone else into our own thinking. We gotta be very careful there. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Because if you do, it says, Jesus says, there's no reward from the Father. Be careful. In Romans 10, could our prayer today be that God give us feet that would bring good news to other people? Is it our desire to help someone? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? When you want to help somebody, you might use your feet and not your mouth. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? I, you know, we can dissect that all day long and translate it out of the Greek, and we'll probably learn something there. But I just think it's interesting how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news to people. Sometimes we use our mouth instead of our feet. You might want to trap your mouth shut and go be somebody. Just go be around or be with somebody, and being with them really will be the first statement that needs to even be made. The fact is, I'm with you. No matter what. Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is gone, new has come. And all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now what that means is we have been given the privilege with the news we've received that changed our life of somehow finding a way to kindly earn the right to be able to walk alongside someone and help them understand maybe what it looks like to follow Jesus. In due time, people tend to say, what's all this about Jesus? How did you get there? And you're ready to answer it. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. And this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we're going to try to carry this message to others and then practice these principles in all of our affairs. How do we carry this message to others? This is step 12. This is the final sermon in the series. What do we do with all this? How do we do it? A couple of thoughts that I thought might be worth sharing. The first one is this. We have to be willing to share, and I put this word appropriate in there on purpose. We want to be willing to share the appropriate details of our spiritual awakening. In other words, there are some things that may not be best shared until there's been some time spent with another person where they can begin to know all about you and you begin to know all about them. But we have to be willing to share the appropriate details of our spiritual awakening. Proverbs 20:30. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. It's like, duh, of course it does. We all know that, don't we? 2 Corinthians 7:9. I'm glad, not because it hurt you, Paul says, but because the pain turned you toward God. And I believe probably all of us at one time or another can look back to a moment of pain that probably played a very pivotal role in our life changing, in our willingness to let something go or take it out of our hands and put it in someone else's and putting it in God's hands. It's this incredible moment that comes to us. But we have to be willing to share the details, whatever's appropriate, of our spiritual awakening. I was taught years ago, three basic questions I can answer when I share my story. What my life was like, what it had become, and then what triggered the need for change, and now how are things going? You just tell the story. We share the details, and sometimes, yes, most of the time, a painful situation will cause us to make some changes. I love that phrase, 2 Corinthians 7, I'm glad not because it hurt you, but because the pain turned you to God. God says to us, look, I can use the things that have caused you pain that you have been able to overcome through the power of God. And in the Bible, Jesus says to us, I can use that to whatever extent you're willing to share it. And the truth is, God will do far more in our lives through our pain than he will through our greatest strengths. He'll use both. You've heard me say for years that God always turns our messes into ministry. I still believe that. And pain has a way of getting our attention. It takes a painful situation sometimes to cause us to change something that needs to change. One thing I've always loved about Crossings, one of the many things I've loved, and I saw it early on, we couldn't define it at the time, back in the Belle Isle days, in the 80s, mid-80s and late 80s, or into the mid-90s. But I began seeing, you know what, I'm learning that this church is willing to be really honest, that we don't walk in the church ashamed. We walk in our church hopeful that the only one who can love us and the only one who can restore us, we're going to find out about this Jesus in this church, and people are going to be very transparent about what they've learned and how it can help other people. I've watched this church be that without even preaching about it, because we know we are beggars that found bread and we just love helping other people find it. I've loved that about our church. A situation that fits everything I just described kind of came up within the last couple of years. Chris and Heather Beard have been a part of our church for a lot of years, raised their kids here. And you would look at them, I sure did, and they were like this perfect couple. Just a great couple, and they still are. But they're even a greater couple because of now something they've been willing to share with everybody. And I'm going to show you a part of that right now. Have a look at the screens as I introduce you to Chris and Heather Beard, who are willing to tell the truth about painful situations and how it changed their life. Have a look at the screens.
I lived a life, you know, for 25 years in a wonderful church with a wonderful family, knowing Jesus, and not really knowing what it was like or to surrender to God and to give over control of my kingdom.
I put my motherhood on a pedestal. I put my volunteerism on a pedestal. I needed to be needed. I needed Chris to love me and let me be me. And in the process of that, I hurt him.
Things were so, you know, rough that I didn't see any way out. And so I'd gone to the point where I, you know, really had asked a friend for a number to an attorney to maybe move on from the marriage. In the step study, when I got in there, I thought I was really coming in for the anger and, you know, maybe pride and you know, control and some of those things. It didn't take me long to realize that that was just a symptom of an underlying issue. The core issue was really that I held on to a lot of bitterness and resentment towards her that I needed to figure out how to handle it. I couldn't do it on my own like I'd done everything else.
It really was what everyone saw on the outside. There were times that Chris and I would pull into the parking lot at Crossings on a Sunday morning and pull right out, because we couldn't let anyone see what was going on behind the scenes. I was frustrated with God at that moment. And for several step study sessions, I thought, I've managed my whole life. Remember when my dad died? Remember when I take care of my sisters? Like, I've managed this. And almost immediately, some of the coping skills, that denial that I had held so tightly to, began to diminish. That was very pivotal to say, I cannot manage my life.
I think we can all sit there and relate to the fact that we've all been a victim or been hurt to some degree. But it's our responsibility now. I don't want to live that way anymore, right? I don't want to stay in that spot. But in order to do the work to kind of look backwards and say, I need to surrender this and move on, that's, you know, I think it can be intimidating. All I would say is that it's extremely worth it.
The whole story of the gospel is about surrender, right? Like, Jesus did that for us, and God says, I direct your steps. Everything we do, this journey is just about steps. It's just full circle for me that, you know, God has just used step study to teach me about slowing down. When I think about our marriage, it's not perfect, but it's surrendered. And in that surrender, we have grace for each other.
You know, I don't think God intended for us to treat each other the way that we did. I don't think He intended for us to be hurt like we were at a young age, but He's definitely using it.
Isn't that amazing? I didn't think I could love those two any more than I already did. But I just so appreciate their willingness to say, we got to tell this story. And they're telling it. Having had this spiritual awakening, we're going to carry this message to others. And one of the ways we do that is we simply share our stories. We share what life was like before we found Jesus, what life was like after we found Jesus, and what life has been like in the coming, in the days since, as we have walked and followed Jesus. Celebrate Recovery is on Thursday nights. It's the gathering on Tuesday nights. You're welcome to be there too. But Thursday nights is Celebrate Recovery, and the step studies come out of that. Their step studies will start again in September, and then we'll do a Life's Healing Choices through the summer, starting June the 2nd on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. So this is a year-round opportunity for us to learn more about ourselves, learn more about what God is doing in our lives, and move forward in a spiritually healthy way. That's what God is willing to do for us. C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but He shouts to us in our pain. So we share the details, and the appropriate details. We're willing to share the appropriate details. Sometimes not all of it should be shared at that moment. Occasionally you can, but not all the time. We're willing to share the appropriate details of our spiritual awakening. And then second, we're going to be open about the pain we've endured and the lesson we learned. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10, where we said we've learned to depend on God. That's a lesson we've learned here. We've learned to depend on God. We were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. That, you know, folks, to me, when you get right here, you're getting ready now for something. When you can get to that, but that was good. You're on your way. When you know you can say that and mean it, you're on your way to something pretty special. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and he did help us. So we've learned to depend on God. And then the second thing we've learned, I've learned I need other people. 1 Corinthians 11:11. Remember that God, in God's plan, we all, men and women, need each other. We all need each other. This is very true about us. We need each other desperately. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and he did help us. That's pretty special. When we are willing to be honest and to be open about the things we've learned and about the pain we've endured, it's very critical. Several things we need to be doing, I believe, that are very critical to the journey, that we need to always remember, that we've been crushed and overwhelmed, but for those of you that may feel that, now, at any given moment, there's a lot of people in Crossings who are feeling this. It's called human nature. I would love for you to find what others have found, that you don't have to stay stuck or stay in this tremendous, difficult moment in your life. And maybe we always will learn something there, but God always has an end date for that, to say, I'm going to take you now. Let's move forward. Let's learn from the past. Let's press on to what lies ahead. That's the beauty, particularly of step 12. We begin to pass it along and share it with others. We've learned to depend on God. I've learned I need other people. I need other people. I need someone that will be willing to know me, know the worst about me, and still love me. And throughout the entire 12-week series, it seems like it continually draws us back to understanding that we can, in fact, depend on God on a daily basis, to really live one day at a time. And week after week, it seems like we kept going back and realizing how critical it was to have significant people around us who would love us through whatever we got to go through, because somebody loved them through whatever they had to go through. We just keep passing it along, sharing it with great joy. 1 Corinthians 11:11, remember that in God's plan, we need each other. Remember that in God's plan, men and women, we all need each other. I thought of a story I told many years ago. It's a miracle I can remember it. That's the reason I'm telling you this, really. I remembered it, and that's all I want you to know. There's a story I told. There were three men who were taking a hike in the woods, and they came on this large, raging, violent river, and they needed to get across the other side. They didn't know how to get there. So they thought, well, let's just pray, and we'll ask God what we should do. So the first man prays, standing there by the river, out in the middle of nowhere, and he prays, God, please give me the strength to cross this river. And just like that, the prayer was answered. He was given these incredible muscles and strong legs, and he jumped in the river and swam across the river. It took him about 2 hours, nearly drowning a couple of times, but he made it. God gave him the strength that he asked for. The second guy saw this and says, okay, well, I'm going to pray the same prayer. So he prays, God, give me the strength, but he had something that the first guy didn't. The second guy says, God, give me the strength, but also give me the tools to cross this river. Great prayer. And all of a sudden, boom, strong muscles and a rowboat. He got the tools. God gave him both. Each prayer got a little better. He had the strength, and now he had the tools. He had a boat, so he gets in the boat, and after about an hour of almost capsizing the boat a couple of times, he gets across the river. The third guy has now kind of figured this out. So he prays, okay, God, I want the strength and the tools, but I want wisdom. And just like that, God turned him into a woman. And Oh, it gets better. And she walked 50 feet upstream and walked across the bridge. Hey, it's our story. So point is, we need each other. We find value in each other. We listen to each other, and sometimes we're ready to jump this way and somebody will say, hey, there's a bridge right there that will help you get across whatever it is you've got to get to. The principles, these principles that we've admitted we were powerless over our separation from God, that life had become unmanageable, and that we came to believe that there's something greater, a greater power, a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So we made a decision to turn our will and our lives to the care of God as we understood him. And then we made a fearless, searching moral inventory of our lives. We admitted to God and ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. We admitted it to another human being. And then we get to step 12. We said we're going to be willing to share our story. We're gonna share with others who might be interested, who might ask us what happened. And having had this awakening, you know what happens to us? We want everybody to have the joy we found. We want everybody to experience what we've experienced. We have friends or whatever acquaintances, we don't want them to spend one more day miserable. Doesn't mean there'll be more hard days, but we can get out of the rut we've been in if we'll just simply now be willing to celebrate what God has done in our life and be ready. Always be prepared. The Bible says, always be prepared to explain the hope that you have found and be willing to share that hope with others. There's a set of 12 promises. That'll be for another time, another series. Promise one, we're going to know a newfound freedom and a new happiness. Promise two, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Promise three, we will comprehend the word eternity and serenity. Promise four, we will know peace. Promise five, no matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Promise six, the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Promise seven, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellow folks around us. Promise eight, self-seeking will slip away. Promise nine, our attitude and outlook will change. Promise 10, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Promise 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And promise 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We're going to practice these principles, and wherever we go, he's going to use us to tell others about the Lord and use us to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. And there is sweet, wholesome fragrance of Christ in our lives. That's what we are given. That's the gift he has given to us. 1 Peter 3:15, it comes down to this at step 12. Let's always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope we have. But please, let's do this with gentleness and respect. With gentleness and respect. If you've ever been to Celebrate Recovery or an AA meeting, they'll usually end the meeting with this one phrase. You probably know what it is. I'll repeat it twice if you want to share it with me on the second time. Here's the phrase. You'll hear that said at the end of a meeting. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. One more time. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. I'm going to close in prayer here in just a moment, and our prayer teams will be at the front of every room. We encourage you, if we can pray for you in any way, it may have nothing to do with anything you've heard me say today, but whatever's on your mind, whatever burden you're carrying, we would love to have a moment with you just to pray for you in any way you ask us to. And that'll be available at the front of all the rooms as people leave those rooms. So let's close in prayer. Father, how thankful we are for the privilege we have of being in church today, of being together, having the freedom to gather. How thankful we are, Father, for our church, a church where we have found they're honest people, and that we're willing to do whatever it takes to find someone who's feeling so worthless or so helpless and walk alongside them at whatever pace they want to go, until they come to realize they are loved by Jesus Christ, and they're also loved by people who follow Jesus. May we be those people, Father, continually in this community and beyond. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.